like to turn with me, please, to Numbers, Book of Numbers, chapter 27. Two readings tonight. This is the first one. We're going to read from verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered." He's talking about obviously how Moses was to die. "For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Probably guessed we're going to look at Joshua this evening. Before we, I'm just going to read another section in a minute. But before we do that, let's just pray to God ahead of our main part of our time tonight. Loving Father, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for preserving us through this day. Thank you for the many blessings that we've all enjoyed this day. Thank you, Father, for your gracious hand to us over many days, Lord, as individuals in our lives, Lord, as families and as a church. Lord, thank you for your great kindness to us. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you for your grace shown to us in many ways. Father, we pray this evening as we come to look at your word that you would speak to us with great power, speak to me with great power. Lord, I pray that we would all go out from here knowing that we've heard from you and being, Lord, encouraged in our walk with you. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would keep us from tiredness tonight, keep us from lethargy, as we've just sung about. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, focus on you for just this short time now. Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us tonight for various reasons. Lord, we pray that you would make it up to them, Lord, and speak to them in some special way this evening even, we pray. Lord, for those that are on holiday, we pray that they might be having an enjoyable, safe time. We pray, Lord, that they might even be able to spend some time tonight on their own or even in a church, Lord, as well. Seeking your face, confessing their sins, Lord, and asking for your help in their lives, asking for your guidance, asking for your help. Lord, we pray that you would be present with us this evening. Lord, put your spirit in this place to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would really deal with us as your people, as Christians, Lord, seeking to follow you. We pray this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, if you'd like to turn then to the book of Joshua, I'm going to read a few verses from the beginning, from chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. God's commission to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can't help but think of the song whenever I read that last verse. I have to try and read it and not sink, fall into the chorus. Okay, so yeah, tonight I may come back to our series on grace, but tonight we're having a break in it. I didn't realise that series on grace actually started almost to the day exactly 2 years ago, so that's gone on a bit. But tonight we're going to look at this character, Joshua. And we're going to look at how God dealt with Joshua and what we can learn from that. Probably fairly brief, but hopefully it'll be something that will stick with us. So my question to you, it's a rhetorical question, so you don't need to shout out your answers. And there's a few of these rhetorical questions, but I'll tell you when they're coming up. How warm are you? How warm are you? Well, it's been a cold winter. It's been a stupidly cold start to spring. But how warm are you? I refer, of course, to yours and my spiritual warmth. I started thinking about this question because I really felt the need to think about this question, because I felt like I had been far too close to the blue end of that scale of warmth instead of the red end. So what do I mean? What does that question mean? How warm are we? A few more rhetorical questions. How excited genuinely are we when we come to our Sunday services? How keen are we to really put God first above ourselves and above our own desires? How ready have we been to say a word against blasphemy? Have we let it slide recently? How quick have we been to seek God's leading in every situation lately? Or have we just gone it alone? How burdened are we for a pastor? How courageous are we feeling as individuals and as a church to see God glorified? Now, this might not be very comfortable tonight, because it's not comfortable sometimes to shine a light on ourselves, is it? But we must reassess our lives in the light of our great calling and in the light of the great price that has been paid for us. So we need to think about those questions, and how warm are we? So to help us with properly considering this question, as opposed to just being a little bit subjective, I wanted to take a look at Joshua tonight with you. And I'll acknowledge my sources from the outset, as Jeff has been teaching us to do in our Saturday morning sessions. And that is to say that the idea to look at this man Joshua came from a sermon preached by a North American called Crawford Lawrence, and I will be referring to some of his points and quotes this evening. And a lot of people would probably take this passage of Joshua, this first 9 verses called God's Commission to Joshua, a lot of people would probably take that, as Crawford did, purely as something to put towards church leaders, because Joshua was about to be a great leader. But I think, and I hope you'll see tonight, that I think it's relevant to all of us, and not just someone that's called to be a great leader. Because to a greater or lesser degree, I think we're all leaders, even if that's only just leading our own life. So I think it's relevant to us. So let's have a little look at the context of where we find ourselves now. What's gone before? Well, you'll recall that Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and away from Pharaoh in a series of plagues. And you may recall that Joshua's name was actually changed to Joshua. His name was Hoshea, which meant salvation. And his name was changed by Moses to Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And commentators think that that's possibly a mark of his godly commitment in the battle against the Amalekites. You might also recall that Joshua was one of the men that went to spy out the land of Canaan and was preserved by God when he condemned the Israelites to the 40 years in the wilderness. This comes after Moses' faith wavered, as we read in Numbers chapter 20, and him and Aaron are told that they won't lead the Israelites into Canaan, and that's touched on in our first reading, where Moses struck the rock when he wasn't commanded to. And then in Numbers chapter 27 that we've just read, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we read that Joshua is the man chosen to succeed Moses. And he's ordained at God's request to take up the leadership of Israel. And then in Deuteronomy 34 is where we read about Moses actually dying and being gathered up in the mountain, and then Joshua being called to take up that leadership. So that's a brief how we got to this point summary. And then we come to this man, Joshua. And I've got 3 points this evening. I'm not quite following Jeff's teaching here because he likes five, but we've got 3 points. It means it'll be shorter. And the first point is I've entitled The Calling. The Calling. Now, Moses had his ups and downs, didn't he? He wasn't perfect. Moses did have his ups and downs, just like every follower of God, just like us, just like me. But overall, Moses' life was characterised by submission to God's will. And the people loved him. Now, there's times where the people cry out against him, and maybe that's more crying out against God. But the people loved Moses. And that's really evident in the sort of eulogy almost that he gets as we read in the Bible, that Moses really did get a lot of respect from the people that followed, the Israelites. So imagine therefore being Joshua. And you've just been told that you've got to step into this man's shoes. How scary that situation must be for Joshua to step into those great shoes. And we might feel like that as well sometimes. Maybe someone leaves the church or someone steps down from something because they think they're getting too old. And maybe we feel like we can't possibly fill those shoes. We can't do that. Well, if you've ever felt like that or ever get tempted to think like that, and as I'm sure Joshua did, with fear, thinking of stepping into Moses' shoes, remember this, that it was God who led Moses, and it was God who directed Moses. And Joshua was reminded of that fact as well. It wasn't Moses as a man himself, but we'll find out what was important about Moses' character a little bit later on. 7 times we read in the passage that covers the wilderness years, 7 times we read about Joshua, we hear about Joshua, we come across him 7 times. Each time, when you really read it and look at it, we see God's strategic dealing with him. You can see that the 7 times we hear about him are important because you can see God dealing with him strategically. He's gaining strategic experience by God's grace and by God's mercy, just ready for this exact moment to come. God was preparing him for this great calling. The second part of verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. That's very comforting to Joshua, because he's given God's guarantee that God will do for him as he did for Moses. So again, Joshua probably feeling a little bit scared, stepping into these great shoes. Well, you know, will God deal with me the same way? Will God help me in the same way? Well, yes, he's comforted by God straight away that God will do for him as he did for Moses. Verse 5 provides a very similar promise again to a man that was undoubtedly a little bit nervous. The first part of verse 3 is just as comforting as the second part, I believe, when it says, I will give you every place you put your foot. God's basically saying to Joshua, yes, the task is big, the task is huge. Yes, you have 2 million people looking to you for their guidance and for their leading. Yes, you might think that you're not best suited and that there's plenty of others that are better suited than you. Yes, all these things, Joshua. But I have chosen you, Joshua. I have chosen you for a reason, and I will not leave you. You will succeed. How amazing, just at the time he needed it, that Joshua was given this confidence boost, that he wasn't to rely on himself, and he didn't need to. God was all his strength, and that was all he needed. However, Joshua chapter 23 and verses 12 to 16 do make it very clear that the enjoyment of these promises was conditional upon obedience. Joshua's obedience and the people's obedience. That's Joshua chapter 23 verses 12 to 16. Now this was crucial for the Israelites, obviously, but it's just as crucial for us. And this is really hard to hear and read as well. That yes, we will receive God's blessing if we are walking in obedience. And that's what Joshua is told. But this applies to us just as much. It applies to us as individuals and as a collective. Are we preventing God's blessing in any way? Even inadvertently? Am I? Are we perhaps very quick to ask for showers of blessing? We pray for it, don't we? We pray for showers of blessing. But are we currently worthy? Obviously, don't mean in terms of being sinless, but are we worthy in terms of our efforts towards obedience? Do we deserve it at the moment? Or are we preventing God's blessing? Crucial that we learn just as the Israelites were told to learn, that they had to be obedient to receive the benefits of God's promises. So, can I suggest that we are called to a task just like Joshua, really? We're called to be fishers of men in the Bible. We're not to be fishers of self-comfort, not fishers of an easy life. We need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zones. And that's not easy. I don't find that easy. In our service for God, we need to be prepared to step out of our comfort zones sometimes and take a risk. Obviously, there's no such thing as a risk with God if we're trusting him, because God will honour us. It's very easy sometimes, isn't it, to say, oh, God might be calling me to this or that, but I don't feel very suited to it. And maybe someone else could do it. Or him over there, let him do it. He's much better. But is that letting God work in our lives, or is that putting a blocker in his way? Obviously, we know that God is sovereign and will always have his way, but are we open to his leading in our lives and in our service for him? Are we being obedient? Let's remember that God isn't needy of worthy men and women. He makes us worthy. So that's a brief point, the calling. Joshua's calling, our calling. The second point is the attitude for the calling. The attitude for the calling. In verse 6, Joshua is told, be strong and of good courage. Point 2 could finish there, really. What should our attitude for our calling be? And what was Joshua's attitude for his calling to be? Be strong and courageous. Now some say that Joshua was perhaps a timid man. It's probably fair to say he was fairly overwhelmed at this point as well, as I certainly would have been as well. But as I said, notice how quick God is to give Joshua the advice and the comfort that he needed. Notice also, as we read, that God actually says these words to Joshua 3 times. Now, obviously everything in the Bible is written for our good and because it's relevant to us and we should listen to it. But we can be pretty sure if there's something written in there 3 times, Joshua and us definitely need to take note of this. You'll notice as well that in verse 18, which we didn't read, this is the people talking back to Joshua. Answering back Joshua, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Now that's quite important, I think, as well. Not only does God tell Joshua 3 times, but the people actually also say the same thing to him. I think we can learn from that. You know, are we keeping an eye out for each other as well? Are we looking out for one another? Are we picking each other up when we're spiritually down? Or are we just concentrating on ourselves. The people, to their leader Joshua, encouraged him to be courageous and to be strong. So at this point, we must surely ask, how? How can I be strong? And where can I find this courage? It's all well and good, Daniel, saying, be strong and very courageous. But what does that really mean? How can I be strong? And where can I find this courage that you speak of? Well, firstly, our strength must be taken from God. It's no good trying to find strength within ourselves. Our strength must be taken from God. Not from our own pride. Not from our own confidence. Our strength must come from knowing that we are pleasing God by doing his will and being obedient. That's where our strength comes from. Not from our own self-confidence. So if we're not walking closely enough to God, then we won't feel able to serve him as we should. We won't feel strong. We won't feel able to say yes to a clear calling, to a certain part of service, perhaps for him in the church or elsewhere. Let's remember that we, Christians, are the tools that God has chosen to work. Wow. That's a big calling, isn't it? And perhaps sometimes we forget that. I do. We are the tools that God has chosen. Are we ready? Are we sharp to be used? Are we ready to be used by God as his tools for his work? So that's a little bit about strength and where we can find it and how we should rely on it. But how about courage? Where can I find courage to step out of the shadows? Where can I find courage to do something for God that perhaps I don't feel comfortable doing or have never felt comfortable doing up till now? Well, verses 8 to 9, as I read, answer this. And they basically tell Joshua and us to be careful to follow the Bible. Be careful to follow the Bible, to be obedient to it, for this will yield success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Be careful to follow the Bible and take your courage from it. Put another way, take courage from the fact that God works through you when you follow him. Very hard, isn't it? Very easy it would be in our service for God, leading kid club, leading FOY, evangelising to someone sitting behind you on a Sunday morning that's never come into church before. It'd be very easy to think to yourself, I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to be bold. I'm going to ask God to make me bold. I'm going to ask God to give me courage, because that will have a lasting effect on this person. That will have a lasting effect on these children. Take courage because God is with you. Be bold in your service because that's what God wants. God doesn't want us to be just so Christians. God wants us to be bold. God wants us to stand tall for him and be proud of him. Be bold in our service because it's what God wants. Crawford Lawrence, as I just referred to at the beginning, said this: courage doesn't mean that I'm not afraid. It means that I fear God more than my environment. I quite like that. It means that I fear God more than I do my environment. It means that I trust in divine resources more than the resources of man, more than my own. It means I trust in God's resources rather than my own. Another quote from Philip Brooks: don't ask for tasks equal to your powers. Ask for powers equal to your tasks. Very easy to say for me to say that to you. Not so easy when I've got to think about applying that to my own life. Ask for powers equal to your tasks. Remember this as well as an overarching principle in all of this about trying to be strong and courageous. That obedience to God's will never made a Christian unhappy. Never has a Christian gone away unhappy knowing that he's being obedient to God's will. Peter Jeffrey, in one of his books on Joshua that I was looking at a help with putting this together for this evening, makes a useful comment in his book. And interestingly enough, I think Stuart referred to this on Sunday night. So I did have it written down before Sarah came home and told me that Stuart had spoken about this. He makes an interesting observation in his book regarding attitude to service and perhaps even attitude to life. He says, it's easy to criticise the Apostle Peter for becoming fearful when walking to Christ on the Sea of Galilee, because at least he had the faith to trust Jesus and get out of the boat in the first place. Are we showing that same faith? Would we jump out over the edge of that boat just in case God's right? Just in case God is actually going to uphold us and use us and work for us? I like that, because we're very, very quick to focus on the fact that, well, I can't believe it. You know, he was doing it. He was doing it. He was walking on the water. God had done what he said he was going to do. And then he got scared. No. Would we have been quick to jump in as he was? Is our faith in the right place to even do that? So that's the second point, the attitude for the calling. So the third point is the result of the calling. The result of the calling. Well, one of the overarching results I summarised when I was looking at this in one word, and that's obligations. We have obligations as a result of God's work in our life. It's not that God works in our life, we're saved, and then carry on through life till we die. No, we have obligations in our life as a result of God's work. And one of the questions you might ask about those obligations is, why isn't it easy? Why isn't the things that we have to do easy? Why do I find it so hard to turn around on Sunday morning and speak to that new person? Why do I find it so hard to put up with little 10-year-olds that wind me up on a Wednesday night? Why isn't it easy? Why was Joshua's task going to be so difficult and require so many trials? Well, because we would quickly forget God if it was plain sailing. It's very true, isn't it? How quickly do we forget God now, when perhaps we don't think we've got plain sailing? Relatively speaking, we would quickly forget God if it was plain sailing. The battles and the trials that Joshua had to deal with and that we have to deal with are to deal with our own arrogance and our own self-confidence and our own pride. So we need to remember that when we're perhaps finding these things hard and we don't want to step into that situation that we feel uncomfortable doing, that God puts us in these positions to trust him. And will we let him work in us? So, whilst the calling to, under this heading again of the result of the calling, whilst the calling to Joshua was accompanied with a promise of victory, it didn't mean that he could stop working. Joshua wasn't told, right, you're going to take over from Moses, you're going to cross over the Jordan now, and off you go. Enjoy your 60 years or 70 years of holiday in the land. No, that's not what he was told. He wasn't told to stop working. A.W. Pink wrote, if our response to God's promises be that of sloth and carelessness, then that is proof that we have received them carnally and not spiritually. What more can be said then about the result of this calling, other than to talk about our obligations as a result of it? Well, one word again, blessing. Blessing flows as a result of this calling. God honours his promise with Joshua and has done many times with us as well, hasn't he? The Jordan was parted, just like God said it would be. The Jordan was parted when the priests stepped their feet into it. I've no doubt they were there going, well, just part it for me and we'll go through. No, Joshua. Ask the priests carrying the ark to step their toes into the water. It will part for you. And it did. God exalts Joshua in the eyes of the people to prove his presence in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. Blessing, again, on Joshua. God causes the walls of Jericho to fall down, just like he said he would. But no, only after they had showed their obedience and trust in him by marching around the required number of times. God didn't need them to march around that many times, did he? But their obedience showed that they trusted him, and he honoured it. Blessing, blessing, blessing. To Joshua and his people, and to us. So just by way of brief conclusion then, my opening question was, how warm are you? How warm am I? Well, I believe that God's dialogue with Joshua here should inspire us. I think it should inspire us in our warmth and to be warmer for God, to be more on fire for God. We shouldn't be downcast if we fear leading, or if we fear evangelism, if we fear speaking a word at work, or if we fear the world around us. Instead, be comforted that people like Moses and Joshua weren't perfect either, and they were fearful, but they were willing. Moses and Joshua were willing, despite their weakness, despite their proneness to failure. They were willing. And God used them and blessed them. Be encouraged, then, this evening, to warm yourself and me. Be encouraged to warm ourselves by being closer to the fire, by being closer to God. Be comforted this evening by the fact that God does bless. We know this, don't we? We've experienced God's blessing today. We've experienced God's blessing this last week in our lives. All of us can look back and probably count hundreds of blessings this week already. We experience God's blessing more than very often. So why are we so quick to think that God will all of a sudden stop being so good to us when we try a little bit harder for him? It's a bit of warped thinking, isn't it? But I certainly suffer with that. I'm sure I'm not the only one. We may be going along in our Christian life and we think, well, if I just step out and just try something else for God, well, it might not work and he might not be with me. Well, if God's blessed us this far, why would he not bless us and help us when we're trying a little bit harder for him and for his service and for his glory? And surely, if we're really honest with ourselves tonight, it shouldn't be that hard to want to obey God when we recall all of his goodness to us. We need to keep that in mind. A little picture for you. A boat can only move when you put the sail up and let the wind work it. Well, we need to be the sail to God's wind. So just a brief summary in terms of Joshua and the passages from the Bible. Numbers chapter 14 says that Joshua was bold, even in the face of adversity, even with danger, even with the prospect of death. Joshua was bold. Numbers chapter 27, God tells Moses that the Spirit is in Joshua. Well, let's remember that God has promised his Spirit to us too. There's no reason that we shouldn't have the same confidence that Joshua was told to have for that reason. Deuteronomy chapter 34, Joshua had the spirit of wisdom. And this too is important for us, isn't it? Especially to make sure that it's not our own wisdom. Joshua had the spirit of wisdom. Joshua chapter 21 verse 45 says, "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." We're going to sing another hymn now, and let's be ready afterwards to praise God for his goodness and kindness to us, and let's ask him to help us trust him more by being stronger, by being bolder, and by being more courageous. So, loving Father, we have much to pray for, Lord, many people to pray for, many situations to pray for tonight, Lord. But we would also remember, Lord, that we have much to praise you for and much to be thankful for. And we do thank you, Lord, for your kind provision and your mercy shown to us. And Lord, we thank you for the trials that you do take us through, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to see them in the right light, with the right eyes, that, Lord, that you'd help us to see that it's to make us see you more, to make you bigger in our lives and us smaller. Lord, we pray for all these things that have been mentioned tonight and lifted to you, Lord, silently or aloud, and we pray that you would be the great God, Lord, for each different situation, and Lord, that your will might be done, and that you would give us understanding of your will, perhaps especially, Lord, when it's hard to see. Lord, we do pray again, especially, Lord, for the youth meetings as they start again next week. Lord, bring children back. Help them to come in the right spirit, with the right frame of mind. Prepare them now, we pray, Lord, the youngest to the oldest ones. And Lord, we pray that you'd give great strength, great courage and great wisdom to each one that comes here, Lord, to try and serve you, to try and show Christ in their life. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live up to that great calling. Lord, we pray again for Ray as he comes on Sunday, that you'd give him strength and health. Lord, we pray that he would feel well for the next couple of days as he prepares, that he would feel well on Sunday when he travels here as well. Keep them safe as they travel. And we pray, Lord, that we might have a Sunday here in your church where we see you, where you meet with us. Lord, we might go away feeling, knowing that we've met with you, feeling stronger for that fact, and stronger, Lord, to serve you better. Lord, we pray again now then that you'd forgive us for our weakness. Please forgive us for failing you so easily and so often. And Lord, please help us to have firmly in our mind Christ on the cross, Lord, that great price that was paid. But whenever we're tempted to sin, whenever we're tempted to flee from you instead of to you, help us to remember that. And help us to remember, Lord, that our attitude should be different. We pray these things through Jesus Christ. Amen.